This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's time for a look back on today's match.
You're listening to the Full Time Report with Abe Gordon. The home for MLS in Atlanta, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It is the full-time report. Abe Gordon and John Nelson of Soccer Down here taking you through what we just witnessed. Unfortunately for Atlanta United, it was a 2-1 defeat. Before we get going with our breakdowns and analysis, Madison Cruz had a chance to catch up with the manager, Ronnie Dyla, shortly after the game ended.
Coach, what did you see from the guys on the sideline?
I think it was an even game. I think they could go both ways, but we lose the ball too much, I think, and then Messi especially get the ball in too many good situations, and then you get punished because he's unreal good. So, but we stay together. We didn't give them any for free. I think we could be a little bit more quicker on the ball and switch it more, because every time we come to crosses, we created something. So we are a little bit disappointed, of course, that we don't get something with us. But okay, this is the level. This is the best team last year in the league. So this is what we have to stretch us for the next months.
What improvements do you want to see going into this next match from the team?
As I said, there's a lot of positive things we have to take with us. I think we have to focus on that as well. But again, we need to be more fluid in our passing. I think that's the main thing, you know. Just play with more confidence on the ball. But I'm sure that will come.
Well, John, it was a fairly even match, but at the end of the day, you made a couple mistakes, and it certainly cost you in this one. And for an Atlanta United team that has gotten off to the season to a relatively slow start in terms of scoring goals, which we thought would look a little bit different, certainly in terms of your home record as well, which is not the ideal situation so far. Look, Inter Miami is the defending Supporters Shield team. They added pieces. Messi played and started in this one, but ultimately this felt like a game you could have had. A couple of things here and there go differently, but Miami takes home the 3 points.
Yeah, you had the one goal go in with Latte Lott early on. Then you had the second chance that went in, but it was called for an offside. The chances were there for Atlanta United in the first 45, and you stood toe-to-toe with with Inter Miami, with Messi and friends. You stood right there and stared at him for 90 minutes tonight, and there were chances that Atlanta United had. Rocco Rios Nova had to make a lot of quality saves. I think three quality saves off the top of my head, especially the one that went full stretch where he had to go full and it goes off the crossbar and ricochets out. But, you know, you heard what Ronnie Dyla told Matty Cruz, that, you know, we didn't give him anything for free. But, you know, once again, you get punished in these situations. And he mentioned that you got to be more fluid on your passing and more confident in the ball. He's confident that that's going to come. But once again, you stared at the Herons for 90 minutes, and obviously an 89th-minute header is the difference from Fafapico getting it past Brad Guzan. That was the difference, but I think that there's a lot to take from tonight as well.
That's what hurts for me as an Atlanta United fan and for all of the 17s who are probably in their cars driving home, and 45,000 people is a pretty nice crowd here tonight, and obviously you expect so with Messi in town, and they were treated to a really good game. That's what hurts for me, though, is 89 minutes. I mean, if this is something where it's, you know, Miami takes a lead in the 63rd minute and you're chasing
and
the game.
And they grind it out and you're, yeah.
I think, despite the fact that in general I'm not usually going to be happy splitting a point or splitting the points and taking one here at home, I think tonight against Miami, you got to a point in this game where you're like, man, I just don't know if it's going to happen, but we're sitting on 1 point. We have the draw right here. If you could have played this one out, it probably feels a little bit different. It's so disappointing to be right there, just a couple of kicks of the ball away, and then drop the points. And that, I mean, again, 89th minute is
back-breaking. Well, so let me ask you, as you were watching the match and you see Brad going to his left and then Fafapico placing the header to Brad's right, did it seem like it was just kind of just dribbling across in slow motion as it was going
no.
over the...
So here's how I saw it. Okay. And I watched the replay of it in slow motion, which made me see it a second time and confirm what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think Goose could have touched that ball. I think he was concerned with playing it off of his own player back into the net. And it looked like to me he started to reach and pulled back. Hope that maybe it went post or that the player, and I didn't see who exactly it was that was far bar on that one, could have backheeled it off the line.
I think it was Jay. I think it was Jay Fortune.
It may have been Jay Fortune. That, to me, was how I saw it. That may not be how it happened.
Yeah.
But the way I looked at it is Goose was there and was concerned that if he taps it out, it goes right into Jay's boot or shin and right into the back of the net. And so he kind of hopefully played the odds. We'll see if Ronnie Dyla feels the same way. It sounds like he's at the post-game podium. Let's check in with what he's got to say after the 2-1 loss to Inter Miami.
As I said, it was an even game. When you see on the expected goals, touch inside the 16 opportunities, but their chances were more clean-cut chances. And you see also, of course, we talk about one of the best players in the world, maybe the best still. It's unbelievable. And the bad part, I think, is like how we can concede that last goal. That is that's too easy because they have 3-4 guys in the box, and I think they are satisfied with that draw, and then they get something out of nothing, and that's hard to swallow.
Okay, Danielle.
Results aside, is Guzan still the man of the match? The way he kind of stood up today.
Yeah, I think he was top this day today. He saved some really, really good chances they had. So he kept us into the game a lot there. Having said that, we have also our opportunities, but we were not that accurate in the last third of the pitch. And also, I think we're not fluent enough on the ball. I think we are a little bit stocky, a little bit anxious instead of daring to play through them, daring to switch the play. When we get crosses, we get opportunities. Good to see Brooks coming in now and had some really good crosses to Manu. I was close to get 2 goals there. So it's small things, and that's good. We play against a team that haven't lost this year, and last year had the most points in the league. So I don't see that it's a frightening difference between us. That's the good thing. But in the end, we gave them too many easy chances. That's the first goal is we lose the ball in a very bad situation, and you do that to the best player in the world, and you have a problem. And the same the set play in the end also is something we need to take out of the game.
Felipe, then Jose.
Coach, what do you attribute that anxiety to? You know, you take a player like Bartosz Szlich, a Polish international, has played in big games, and he just looks unsettled in his own half. Is that something that you are trying to work out of this team? Is that something that is a concern for you right now?
Yeah, that's, so you know, the consequences we have to stop thinking about. As I said to the players all the time, I said, I take the consequences. We need to go out and enjoy playing and feel free, but of course being disciplined in what we are talking about. But we looked a little bit a step behind in during the game, so that's something I have to look to as well. What we have done training wise this week, information to the players. That's also a learning point that I need to look through, because I've seen us fresher than we were today.
Jose, that's it.
Coach, how do you qualify the performance today of the three attacking midfielders, Alexi, Sava, and Almiron?
I think we come into some good spaces, but we didn't get enough clear-cut chances when we get there. We were not accurate enough in the last third of the pitch. Alexi had a couple of two, three times in the first half that he can just play out Sava, and then he can get the 1-1, get crosses in from there. But then we lose the ball in two easy spaces, and also when we don't play good enough from behind, you end up playing a little bit longer, and then also it's difficult for the attackers to get really good moments to influence the game. So, but all of them work really hard. That's important and very important as well. But we need to create more chances than we did.
Back up top here, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the press box. It is Abe Gordon and John Nelson of Soccer Down Here. It is the full-time report. Before we hit a break, we got a couple things to take care of, and we'll do that in just a moment. But just your initial thoughts on the words there of Ronnie Dyla.
No, I mean, he used the words stocky and anxious in the final third. And it was – you take that, but then you add to that where he says there's not a frightening difference between us and Inter Miami. And so I take both of those as giving up, you know, too many easy chances were given up. Yes, we were stocky and anxious in the final third, but there's not a frightening difference between us. So I think that there's a lot of back and forth that you can take from this and the positives to build from it.
A couple of looks at the statistics that matter in this one, and this statistical recap is brought to you by Emory, the official team healthcare provider of Atlanta United. Possession in favor of Miami, 52% to 48%. Teams even on shots, 12 apiece, but shots on goal, Miami doubled up, Atlanta 8-4. The XG, not that far off to the point that Ronnie Dyla was mentioning, 1.4 for Atlanta and 1.8 for Miami. But, of course, the only stat that matters, the points and the goals, 3 points for Inter-Miami due to 2 goals compared to Atlanta United's 1. I have a lot of other thoughts I want to get to on the other side, but before we hit our first break here on the full-time report, John, we do have to give out a man of the match, and there was a question there to Ronnie Dyla. Brad Guzan, I think, really did play excellent in this one. Number of really good saves, tough reflexes, tight angles. He was really tested. Is he your man of the match?
I'll go with Brooks Lennon coming back from his rehabilitation and his injury. Brooks on the day, 83 minutes. He had the 1 assist on the day, the gorgeous ball that we can get into as we are here on the full-time report. You believe? I'm not going to get into your AG category, your actual goals, but AA equals 1 for Brooks, actual assists. 3 clearances on the day, 1 interception, had duels won in both the ground and the air, fouled once, 59 touches, 83% in his passes at 35 of 42. 2 key passes, connected on 2 of 3 crosses, connected on 3 of 5 long balls, had the 1 big chance created that went into the back of the net. And so I'll go with Brooks Lennon. SofaScore had him ranked at a 7.2, the highest ranking of any player outside of Latte Lott for Atlanta United on the day.
I would have gone with Brooks Lennon as well. When we get back, we'll take a look back through the highlights and, as we sometimes call them, the lowlights of this one. But I also got a couple of other thoughts, and we see the team progressing. Maybe a little step back, and I'll explain what I mean by that coming up on the other side. In 5 minutes, we continue. It is the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the full-time report. Abe Gordon and John Nelson of Soccer Down here. We've already heard from Ronnie Dyla twice in this one. Obviously, he caught up with Madison Cruz in the aftermath on the field, also took to the podium, had some interesting things to say and things that largely John and I agree with. This was a very even game, and I know Mike and Jason were on that as well. This was a game that Atlanta United, quite frankly, probably could have played out and deserved the split, the draw at home. And I think Miami at the time probably would have taken the draw at home. Certainly Atlanta United, in my opinion, would have taken the draw at home as well. But it was not to be due to some late heroics, if you want to call it that, from Fafa Pico of Inter Miami. And unfortunately, that does go home as a winner. A couple of things here, and we're going to get to the highlights in just a moment. But I wanted to start with this one. The team is not scoring at the pace that we thought maybe they could, and that's partially to be understood, right? They're relatively new, and it seems like every week a new piece is being worked in, right? 3 weeks ago, we didn't have Tristan Mwemba for the first time. He makes his first start. 2 weeks ago, right? Two games ago, whatever it is. I'm putting this one in
You're building.
It was Pedro Amador for the first time, and tonight it was Brooks Lennon for the first time. And I do think you're still seeing some of the spacing and communication issues up top. I think there probably should have been another goal for Atlanta United, and we could talk on this. Sabe and Latte Lop didn't know who should take the ball, and they're standing right next to each other, and that moment probably could have been handled a little bit differently if there's communication and understanding of what was going on. And then I think for the first time in this one, with Brooks Lennon there on the right side, it felt often like he and Miggy were a little unsure of who was going to make the overlapping run and what the spacing was there. So again, this is a work in progress, and I think that's to be expected. It was nice, at least for once, though, to see them break through and take that lead. I mean, Latte Lothan almost had a second one if it weren't for a couple of inches of all sides. Yep. But good to see him get back on the score sheet.
No doubt about it. And you're getting all of these pieces together for Atlanta United in the anticipated starting 11 that you were looking for in the offseason. And so you add a piece, you try to figure out your relationships. You add another piece, you try to figure out the relationships as you continue to add these. If you want to use the words building blocks, you can. But once again, piecing together that starting 11 the way that you were anticipating. If you're a 17 or if you're someone that follows the club on a weekly basis, you're sitting there saying, okay, in a perfect world, the perfect 11 is going to be these individuals. And you're getting that much closer to figuring out, okay, who's in? Who's the 11? Where do you go? Where do I need to go? And it's that whole – you mentioned a couple of instances where folks are still trying to figure out, okay, where's the symbiosis come from? If I go here, then you go where? If you're going here, then I'm supposed to do this. It's all part of the feeling out process. And so, you know, once again, you've only had four matches in your season, and you've literally just passed the 10% poll when it comes to the actual activity that you've had this year. You're still trying to figure things out as you're assembling that starting 11 the way that you would like for it to be.
We've already taken care of the key statistics, so how about the key moments in this match? The highlights are brought to you by Scana. For over 20 years, Scana Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. And Atlanta United got this one off the right foot here, because in the 11th minute, Latte Loth rise and fire to put Atlanta United ahead.
Four-man line of confrontation for Miami. Almiron has it and pitches over the top now for Lennon. Connects right side of the 18. Lennon's crossed the back post. Saba, headed in by Latte Lott! Two men crashing to the back post. Saba and the L train. And it's Latte Lott's third goal of the year. Atlanta United scoreless drought ends in 195 minutes.
And it looked like they were actually about to double their lead. Another header crossed in from Brooks Lennon, finished by Latte Loth, but that was ruled immediately offsides. And then just a couple of minutes later, after it looked like Atlanta United had taken a 2-0 lead, a bad turnover at the back leads to the greatest of all time, putting one in the back of the net.
Here's Messi playing a beautiful ball into the far corner. Here's a cross, smothered by Guzan. He is able to poke it ahead to Sleaze. Atlanta trying to work it clear now up to Moranchuk. Drop back to Sleaze. He's dispossessed by Messi, who dribbles in, shoots, and chips it in. A brilliant goal by Lionel Messi. Unfair. Brilliant goal by the best to ever do it.
And then they play for 70 minutes there, and it looks like you are headed towards a draw. But in the 89th minute, a ball floated to the back post, sent back to the far post via a header, and Fafa Pico finds his name on the scorebooks.
Suarez can play. Maybe it's a diversion. They play a short corner to Messi. Spun to the back post. Pico, header! Score! Took two bounces in front of Guzan and into the net. Atlanta couldn't kill it. And Miami is going to win this game unless Atlanta can find something in stoppage time.
And they could not find anything in stoppage time. They worked their way up the field a couple times, started to pressure, but too little too late, certainly. And that is your final. It is 2-1 Inter-Miami. Couple of thoughts here, John. I want to go back to the first goal. Latte Loth headed in. Miggy sends it to Brooks Lennon, who on his return then sends it to the middle. Latte Loth gets right in there. I was watching Brooks Lennon for a long time on that formation, on that play. He was calling for the ball on the right side probably for 40 seconds. He made one run. The ball wasn't set them. He kind of went back on sides and waited. He's raising his hand like, guys, come get me the ball. I know what to do. And finally, Miggy decides to play him. He takes a nice touch and then does send it in. But it's one of those things where he knew he had the space. He knew he has the touch, and he wanted it. It eventually got there, and he did finish it and set it on a platter for Latte Lot.
Welcome back, Brooks Lennon, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you've been anticipating with Brooks, and when he's at full song, that's what you get. And to think in that particular play, you had created an advantage at the back post. You had Latte Lot, and then you also had Saba coming in behind there, depending on the weight of the ball and how much, you know, if Latte Lot could elevate to get to it. So you'd had one of those situations that you were looking for and trying to create an advantage. You got that. Latte Lot jumps out of the gym again and hammers it home past Rocco Rios Novo. But once again, you've added that piece. And when Miguel finally, had a second to sit there and process, okay, I see Brooks, and then you fire it to Brooks. Think the ball that Miggy had to get to Brooks.
Yeah.
In addition, if you want to play the play backwards.
Yep.
So the header, the slam dunk was cool. Then you go backward. The ball that Brooks played to Latte Lot was amazing. Then you go back, and the distance and the weight that was put on the ball by Almiron to start the play. I think Derek actually started the play in the buildup. So Derek went to Miggy. Miggy goes long. Then Brooks comes in, and Latte Lot hammers it home. That's the kind of 1-2-3-4 that you're looking for, and you got that early on in the 11th minute.
Yeah, and I mentioned that Brooks had been calling for it. When the ball finally did come, he was open, but he wasn't wide open. It wasn't like he had 25 yards of space with no one around him. So it really did need a pristine ball from Miggy to even get that whole thing started. Then on the second goal, the Lionel Messi touch that equalized it in the 20th minute. Obviously a huge mistake from Sleaze, and that's there. One thing that I did notice, Derek Williams was all over Sleaze right in the aftermath. I don't know if that's leadership or frustration, because I don't know what he said. I know in the manner of which he said it, though. And we've seen Sleaze make some mistakes and disassociate from the game. Certainly we saw that at times last year. Didn't feel like that happened today, which I think is a nice step forward for Sleaze in his growth. The other thing, and we've seen turnovers like this before, and we've seen Goose make the play, right? And I'm sitting there thinking like, oh boy, that's a bad turnover, but Goose is charging, maybe. And I'm like, oh wait, it's Messi, so probably not. Unfortunately, that wasn't able to be knocked in. A really, really nice, first off, he had to make a really tight closet move just to get in on goal, and then the chip as Goose is sliding. If he's not your best of all time, he's certainly close.
No, I am Team Messi. I am Team Messi, like, without question.
It's just like, man, Mike Conte called it unfair, and there's no doubt about that. By the way, in the aftermath, Derek Williams did catch up downstairs with Jason Longsore, possibly other assembled media. Here's what he had to say.
Down here in the locker room with Derek Williams. Derek, game it goes back and forth down to the wire. What do you guys take away from this one against Miami?
It's a disappointing one. I think we gave it to them. I think all the chances they had, we gave it to them simple. Sloppy passes. Because when we're in our structure, we look solid. They don't have many chances. It's every time when we have the ball, not doing like, not playing simple, and then we just give it. It's the difference. They don't do that. And then we just need to be better.
Is it one of those games that early in a season you feel like provides a lot of lessons going forward for the group?
Yeah, 100%. But we got too many good players right now, which we should be doing better, all of us. I think if you look across the 11, we don't have enough people playing and a 7 or 8 above, and we need that. We can't just have 4 or 5, so we need to have a look at ourselves and really just... It's so frustrating because the first 25 minutes, you can see how good we looked.
Yep.
Two touch, go to one side, go to the other side, attack, and then it's just dwell on the ball, slow, try to go through the middle. It's, yeah, so frustrating.
So just one of those things that at this point, still building chemistry, and next week, look at stuff, you're going to be missing a lot of guys with the international break.
Nah. I don't think we can use that excuse anymore. I think... All these players, overall, experienced players. How long are we going to wait for this chemistry to happen? It's about being disciplined, staying in our positions, trusting each other to get the ball, and just doing the simple things. And we didn't do that enough tonight.
Big week to regroup. We'll see you in Cincinnati.
Thank you.
And that probably is what's most frustrating here, John, is that it hasn't come together quicker, as quickly as many has hoped, especially, and we talked about it, right? It's a run of difficult games,
yeah.
And that continues against Cincinnati. But it's also been a run at home, and you want to start out the season hot. You want to get the max points, and you certainly want to do it with a brand of soccer that we all have expected based on the money spent in the offseason and some of the additions. But it was always going to take a little bit of time. But I think Derek Williams is right. There is a time where you say, all right, it's been enough time. And sure, it's only four games, but that this is now 10, 12 weeks of training as we get deeper into the season. And it does need to come together. Unfortunately, it didn't quite come together tonight, at least not enough to take 3 points.
No, in the self-evaluation from Derek Williams, he said the stuff that stuck with me in the interview with Jason, he says we gave it to them. We had too many sloppy passes. And we don't have enough players playing at the 7 or 8 or above, just 4 or 5. And what he means by that, you know, scale of 1 to 10 is what Derek is using, whatever your metric is. But you don't have enough guys playing at 7s and 8s. And you need more than just the 4 or 5 guys that are playing at 7s and 8s, at least from the conversation that we're gleaning from Derek Williams, that everyone needs to elevate their game. And Derek notices once again the first 25, 30 minutes or so. And then you go from there, and it just comes from his conversation with Jason about the simple things, doing the simple things right, and maintaining your discipline over a full 90 minutes. That's what I took away from Derek's conversation with Jason.
We'll also hope to hear from both Tristan Muyamba and Brooks Lennon on the other side, plus a couple of check-ins on some players that maybe haven't gotten the season started off the way that people had hoped, myself included. I'll get John's thoughts on that. He is John Nelson of Soccer Down Here. I am Abe Gordon. We continue in 5 minutes on the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Welcome back to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where Atlanta United has been handed an 89th-minute defeat. Fafa Pico with a header that dribbles into the far post past Brad Guzan is the difference tonight. Inter Miami 2, Atlanta United 1. It's Abe Gordon and John Nelson, Soccer Down Here, hanging out with you. And we're going to be joined by Madison Cruz, also of Soccer Down Here, in just a little bit. But before we chat with her, before we continue the analysis, let's hear what Tristan Moyamba, Atlanta United midfielder, had to say after this one.
Tristan, looking at the match, what do you need to do in order to be a little bit more successful, especially in that final third and keeping things a little bit more cleaner?
I think just keep going, as simple as that. I think we show a good face of us today. But at the end of the day, if you don't score the second one, or if you don't, when you have the opportunity to take the lead, if you don't take it, you're still vulnerable, so you can concede, and that's what happened today. So we are disappointed about that, but like I used to say, we have to stay positive and keep the right things we did today.
What did you see from the fight from the team, especially in the second half when Miami got the goal, and just the fight throughout the rest of the game?
I think it was tough, because I think like I said, they scored the second goal late on the game, so it was like a shock for us. So after that, we tried to get back to the game, but after that, the time was short, and we tried to keep going, but with also the fatigue, all these things, it was tough. So yeah, I think this game is the feeling I have is a little bit strange, because the matchup against them was good, and lost in this kind of game is a little bit frustrating, you know.
We'll hear from our man in the match, Brooks Lennon, in just a moment. John, you were furiously writing.
I'm always furiously writing.
You continued writing there as we got done. What did you hear? What sparked you to take notes on that one?
Well, I mean, Tristan mentioned, and I mean, this really isn't any kind of real rocket science, but he said that they're still vulnerable. If you don't score that second goal, you're still vulnerable for the remainder of the match, and that turned out to be true. And also to the message that we consistently hear, whether it's from Ronnie Dyla or other players that you listen to during the week from the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta training ground or in post-game situations this season, Tristan also said you want to keep the right things from today. And also to his point, and once again, it's the point that you were making after the Pico goal was scored in the 89th minute, the goal in the 89th was a bit of a shock for us, and we tried to get back into the game. But obviously frustrating is a universal word out of the locker room. And, you know, at the end of the day, you end up on the short end. But once again, another frustrating loss. But this one happened in a different way this time around with the goal in the 89th by Pico. But, yeah, with Tristan, you know, once again, keeping the right things from today, but also reminding us that, yeah, you're still vulnerable if you don't get that second goal, which you almost had from Latte Lott, except for the flag being up in the first half.
You dealt with a long run of disappointing results a year ago, and including matches at home. And I think it really mentally bothered the team in a negative manner. To me, right now, this team is in a different mindset. Now, maybe it's the fact that you're still early in the season and you just haven't been beaten down by it. Maybe it's the new manager and where he wants these guys and the mental headspace. But it doesn't seem like they're despondent by being defeated at home. And I think that's probably a good thing to try and rebuild momentum and win it back next week.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about, you have an 89th-minute goal that happens today that puts a loss on your table. Last time out, you had a goalless draw against Red Bulls where you dominated in the first 45, especially in the offensive side of the ball, and you didn't let Red Bulls breathe offensively, period. And your defense, you know, seems to be coming together faster than your offense. And we see it in other sports where there are times where, okay, what's going to come together first? Is it going to be the offense coming first, or is it going to be the defense? Right now for Atlanta United, it seems like, short of, you know, individual mistakes during game state, that the defense has been there for Atlanta United, and so now you're just waiting for the offense to come together. But, you know, last time I checked, it's offense is what puts the goal in the ball in the back of the net to score goals.
At some point to win games, you're going to have to show a little bit of that offense. And we got a little sneak peek of that tonight when Brooks Lennon made his return, his season debut, and obviously assisted on the opening goal for Atlanta United. And he was speaking downstairs just a couple of moments ago.
You hit the cross on that goal, and you turned around and started walking upfield like you've done it 100 times in your career. I was curious if that's how it felt.
Yeah. On the goal, you mean?
Yeah.
It was just almost kind of a just a culmination of all the rehab that I've done over the past 4.5 months, almost 5 months, and all the hard work I've put in. It was almost like an emotional moment for me. Just so happy to be able to come back and provide an assist. And, you know, such an unfortunate result in the end. But, you know, I'm really proud of how the guys played. And, you know, it's great to be back.
How did the game speed feel in the first 10 to 15 minutes?
Yeah, it felt great. It felt really high speed. I think you guys could have seen that from where you were. It was very high intensity. I thought we were all over them in the first 15, 20 minutes, you know, creating chances. You know, the second cross I had to Manu, mm-hmm. you know, was close. Mm-hmm. It was a close offside call. You know, if we bury that, make it 2-0, you know, it's a lot harder for them to come back. But, yeah, I think a couple decisions and a couple, you know, balls just didn't roll our way tonight. But, you know, I'm proud of the guys for how hard they fought, and, you know, we'll be back.
How do y'all, I mean, you've been here for many years now.
Yeah.
These individual errors that mm-hmm. keep resulting in the goals, how do y'all work through that? How do y'all get that out of you?
Yeah, I think for us it's just, you know, seeing it and owning up to, you know, what the actual mistake was and where it started, and you know, looking over it in video and making sure that, you know, if a mistake does happen, you know, that it doesn't happen again. You know, it's not a reoccurring thing. So yeah, I think we've got a lot of games left. You know, I think we're playing good soccer. We're creating chances. So yeah, just clean up the individual mistakes, and if we can do that, then, you know, we're going to get a lot of 3 points and wins this season.
Brooks, next week, different roster. Seattle break.
Yeah.
What kind of test would that be? Being on the road, you're obviously going to need you a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, playing against a great Cincinnati team in Cincy, and like you said, we're missing a lot of guys with international duty, and yeah, I think that's credit to our locker room with the amount of guys that are getting called into their national teams. You know, it's great, but it's also a curse. You know, it's cool to see these guys, and hopefully I can be there one day. You know, as much as I don't want to miss games for Atlanta, you know, I'd love to, you know, get called into the U.S. team eventually. But we're going to have to use our full roster, and that's why, you know, Garth and the front office have built such a great roster this year. Is we're going to have to use everyone in the depth that we have, and we can go there and get 3 points.
I don't want to get started with Brooke Lennon's spot with the U.S. men's national team. I shared my thoughts on that before. Look, the defeat, the loss is the largest emotional response to this game. But the return of Brooke Lennon, it's nice. And for him to have the impact that he did almost immediately, right? 10, 11 minutes in to this one, it hopefully just a sign of things to come as they continue to build together.
Yeah, and as we've been talking about previously, where now that you have – short of the international window coming up, and it's going to be I don't think it's necessarily going to be to the point of, you know, people wearing "Hello, my name is" name tags at the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta training ground or in Cincinnati or around Major League Soccer trying to figure out, okay, who do we have, who are we calling up, what's it going to look like. But you have an organization that was built in a certain way where you have the depth pieces that can be there for you. It is going to be a challenge for Ronnie Dyla and the coaching staff to figure out, okay, who do we have? What can we do? Who's healthy? I need you to do this. I need you to do this. Next week in Cincinnati is going to be different. But having an anchor like Brooke Lennon out there at right back, or wherever he ends up during game state, it's going to be a key going up against a team in Cincinnati that outside of the international window lost two of their members of the back four to injury. So this is all part of that, you know, the palace intrigue that we're going to be getting into with Cincinnati. But having that piece back in Brooke Lennon, I think, is going to be big, and it might even be larger because of the pieces that you're missing and the pieces that Cincinnati is missing, either through injury or call-up.
That is the voice and analysis of John Nelson of Soccer Down Here. I am Abe Gordon, and when we come back, we'll also welcome Madison Cruz back into the program, get some thoughts as we continue breaking it down, including Alexi Maranchuk and where he fits in with the attack. We'll talk about all that and more in about 5 minutes as we continue the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the press box. We're just about the last.
It's like they turned the lights at least down low. They didn't turn them off.
They'll be off soon enough, I'm sure, of that. Welcome back in. It's Abe Gordon. It is John Nelson of Soccer Down Here, and it is not Madison Cruz.
Hot tag.
Jarrett Smith of Soccer Down Here joining you for the final couple of segments as we break it all down. Before we do that, Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $2,000. So we'll hope to add to that, but you can't do it next week because they're on the road. Actually, you could. I'm wrong. I just
regardless of location,
you can still get clean sheets on the road, I'm told. My bad. We'll see if Atlanta United can get one. They played relatively well in the back, and that's one of the things here is the mistakes are costing them again. And we saw it at quite a furious rate last season, and it started to creep up a little bit again. And it felt like in previous years that you might make a mistake and you might be bailed out. That certainly wasn't the case tonight. It's certainly not going to be the case when it's Messi. The mistake is given to, 20 yards from goal, maybe less than that, makes one guy miss, and then he's in on Goose and chips him, and it's a beautiful finish. And as frustrating as that was, you kind of had to appreciate it. And I was joking. Like I said earlier in the program, like maybe Goose comes up and makes a save and bails you out, but not against Messi. It wasn't going to happen, and that was just the start of it, because obviously late in this one, Fafa Pico had a ball that took forever to find the inside part of the back post and bounce in. So Atlanta United does fall apart a little bit late. And maybe that word is a little bit too strong. But, Jarrett, you were down there. I was talking with John earlier that despite the run of results that you've had at home and including the Charlotte game on the road, doesn't seem like the team is in the same mental state they were at times last year. Maybe that's because it's so early in the season. Maybe that's because you're identifying things and working to fix things. But at least from my view, without being down there, feels like they're in a decent mental spot. Despite the 1-2-1 record,
yeah, I think it's a mental spot right now, man. It's a frustration because you ask them, they're going to tell you they feel like they're playing better than a 1-2-1 record. Now, that's their record right now. That's the problem. And, yeah, you've had some tough matchups. Like, you went on the road to Charlotte, who's looked good, who picked up a 2-0 win yesterday against the Cincinnati team you have to play coming up. You played against a team that was in MLS Cup Final last year in Red Bulls that you should have beat here. You didn't give up a shot on goal. Should have beat them. And then tonight, you went toe-to-toe with a Miami team that I think might be better than last year. I think they're tougher mentally.
Right.
If nothing else, and they're a bit deeper and – You
they've improved the back line, too.
Yeah, and you took their swings. Goose made some saves, man. I mean, you talk about Goose kind of getting hung out to dry on that goal where he has to make himself big, and there's not much else he can do because Messi's just going to lift that ball over you perfectly every time, and you're going to have to watch it in slow motion bounce into the net. But, man, he made some saves in this game. He commanded his box. He got good defensive work in front of him from guys like Stian Gregersen, who was really good. But you had the one turnover.
Moments. It's moments. And you
switched off defensively at the very end of the game.
It's been a couple of times where moments have cost you. And on the other side, too, a couple of times where moments and mistakes have cost you goals or prevented you from scoring goals. Obviously, being a tick off sides, that one steps back. And I mentioned it with John. You probably had another goal sitting there when Lotte Loth and Saba were stepping over each other. Far for me to say, I think Lotte Loth needs to step away from that ball. Saba's running in on it and is one-touching it into the net. Loth tried to take a touch, make a turn. They were kind of in each other's areas. It would have been tough either way. But certainly little mistakes like that cost you goals on both ends, and you do fall 2-1 in this one. One of the questions we came into this game with, and I wanted to get your guys' thoughts, and John, if you want to start, and then Jarrett, you could pick up on the back end.
Sure.
There's been some questions about Alexi Maranchuk and his ability to connect as part of Slam, right? Saba, Maranchuk, Magi, and Lotte Loth. What did you see tonight from him and how he's fitting in with those guys up top?
I mean, you mentioned the perceived difficulties of Alexi Maranchuk, and I look at it once again. You mentioned it with two players who were trying to put the ball in the back of the net in the situation. I don't see it any differently than, once again, trying to figure out, okay, you know that the three players up front in the attack, whether it's, you know, Lotte Loth or whomever, so Lotte Loth, Miggy, and Saba, if you take that as your back line, okay, they're trying to figure out where they need to go, what happens when they invert, what happens if they stay on their dominant foot and try to get into the attack. And then you have someone like Alexi Maranchuk who has to figure out ways to integrate with those three individuals, whether it's with passing or movement or both, or trying to figure out when to shoot. So it's almost the decision tree for Alexi Maranchuk is that much larger than it is for the three in front of him, because he has to figure out how to integrate with each one of those individuals. It's like, okay, the ones up front, when they're in the attack, it's like, all right, so if I go here, you go here. Maranchuk, I think, has to think of it almost in a three-dimensional sense where, okay, if the three in front of me are going here, here, or here, what's my decision tree? And so I think that he has that many more decisions that he has to make and process through on any given week in any given game state to try to figure out what's going on with all of these new faces.
I think they're pressing. I mean, that's you want to boil it down. I think they're pressing. Look at the goals you've scored this year. You have four goals. Three of them are Lotte Loth. One of them is Edwin Mosquera off the bench. I think Saba and Maranchuk especially are pressing, and I think they're feeling the pressure of it because this is supposed to be a high-profile, a high-intensity fireworks in the sky. Every firework is the finale attack, and it hasn't come off like that through four games. Now it's just four games. You've got plenty of games left, but I think they're pressing, and I think they feel the pressure on it. And Ronnie Dyla has talked about, you know, getting the guys to loosen up and play carefree at times, and yeah, you're going to make mistakes. It's going to happen. And there will be consequences at times, but you got to play carefree and you got to play loose. And there are times where I think that they have felt a lot of pressure to try and play that ball perfect instead of just play that ball that you know you can play, that you've played 100 times.
I think the other thing that's interesting is there was probably like a visualization from fans and probably analysts, myself alike, of just a bunch of in-on goals, right? And just a bunch of counters where it's Loth and Miggy on a two-on-one. And that really hasn't materialized yet either. This is an attack that has been building up a little bit slower, and it is up to Maranchuk to maneuver in tight spaces along with the other guys that have to maneuver in tight spaces. And if there's a way to maybe find a little more open field, and we talked about it, keeping with in the attack, mm-hmm. and I think we did see that a little bit more, certainly from Brooks.
You did.
Tonight. We certainly saw it a little bit from Pedro at times as well, but it's just a lot of people getting in towards the center, and it does get compacted, and they will figure that out, and when they do, I think that's when you will see the next step taken in this attack. When you also will see the next step taken is next week against FC Cincinnati on the road, TQL Stadium. When we get back here on the full-time report, we'll take an early look at that matchup and see who's going to be in, who's going to be out, and what the expectations are. Certainly 3 points would be nice for Atlanta United. We'll break it down next as we continue. It is the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Final couple of minutes here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium as we break down the 2-1 loss for Atlanta United. Inter Miami with a late 89th minute goal sends them home victorious, and we're going to turn the page a little bit as well. We're looking forward to next Saturday. Atlanta United is going to go back on the road to TQL Stadium and take on FC Cincinnati. This is a Cincinnati team that is 2-0 at home this season, but they are currently in the 8th spot in the Eastern Conference, and Atlanta United all the way down in 12th in the Eastern Conference. But both teams have scored 4 goals on the season. Both teams have conceded 6 goals on the season. Not too dissimilar here. And Cincinnati took a hit. They picked up a red card. They picked up some injuries. That, along with these international call-ups all over the place, are going to impact what they're going to put out on the field. Certainly is going to impact what Atlanta United is going to put out on the field as well. But it's a situation where Atlanta United is now 1-1-1 at home this season. And we've said it for how many years in the MLS. You got to win your home games and try and pick up a point here or there on the road. But they put themselves in, and again, tough schedule. We've talked about that. But they have put themselves in a situation where they're going to have to win a couple of these road games and probably do so against some of the better teams, not just the lower-tiered competition. And an opportunity to, again, we're 4 games in. I don't know if turn the season around is the right phrase to use here, but an opportunity to get on the winning ways, and you do that Saturday afternoon in Cincinnati. Well, what do we know so far, John? Who will and won't be available for Atlanta United? It's a mess. I know it's a mess, but yeah.
I was trying to do some research on FC Cincinnati just to sit there and say it's like, okay, they will not have Gilberto Flores unless the disciplinary committee turns over the red card. He had shown a red card in the 83rd. Miles Robinson off with an injury in the 30th minute, replaced by teenage Hadibi, and Hadibi is going to be going away on international duty as well. Our friend Laurel Fahler at Queen City Press. Hadibi is going to be a call-up for Zimbabwe. Miles Robinson was left off the roster for Nations League, but obviously he's out for an injury. Kevin Dinkay got called up to Togo's squad for World Cup qualifiers, so he'll be out for the March 22nd matchup, according to Carter Chapley at FCCincinnati.com. So you have some injuries. You've got a red card. You have one of your big guns in Dinkay that is not going to be a part of your offense for FC Cincinnati as a part of this. I'm intrigued when it comes to what you're looking at for Cincinnati. For, you know, Atlanta United, you have Noah Cobb and Luke Brennan getting call-ups for the U-20s.
Yep.
In addition to the depth that would be there, and you have the European qualifiers as well that you have to keep an eye on. So, no, this is going to be, as we mentioned earlier in the show, it's going to be one of those tests for this particular coaching staff to monitor how things are going to be with who's leaving, and then those normal folks that you might necessarily sit there and knock on the door and go, okay, hey, Noah Cobb, hey, Luke Brennan, we might need you. You're not going to have them either. And Atlanta United, too, had a draw tonight with Orlando City B, and they had, because of folks going to U-20s and U-18s and call-ups to here to be a part of the roster, they only had 5 players, 4 position players and a backup keeper tonight in Central Florida for the draw there. So this literally is the trickle-down effect of what you have with MLS and MLS Next Pro. Who's leaving? Who do we have, and then how does that affect MLS Next Pro? So this is a two-step process we're going to have to monitor for Atlanta United this week.
And the other storyline we're following is it looked like Edwin Mosquera picked up a knock right at the end of the game. We don't know the severity, but it is something we'll be keeping an eye on, because depending on who gets pulled in, who's left out, that could have been a name that you would have seen possibly in the starting lineup, certainly off the bench, and he may not be available due to injury as well. Not saying he won't be. We just unsure, haven't been updated on that status yet. But the one thing we do know, I guess, based on the comments of Brooks Lennon, is he's not going anywhere. He should be available. Brad Guzan, I would imagine, is not going to be called into the U.S. national team. He should be available. And I feel pretty good with those two as a starting point. So
yeah, so you're looking at Luis Abram traditionally called up, and then you have the injuries that are attached to Ronald Hernandez, and so all
we've
of these
seen
things.
Sleash and Saba been called up. We've seen Steon be called over as well. It's gonna be interesting.
Yes, Dr. Evil. On Hogan's Heroes. Very interesting. You know, you said, or no, that's Laughing. Sorry, I'm just like the third sitcom.
You
want to
get any of
head.
Your references right tonight, or what are we doing?
No, it's okay. not enough kickstart this late at night, but. No, it was a Laughing reference to Artie Johnson. Very interesting.
Well, here's the deal. You can try again tomorrow on the podcast. I'll be joining at 9:15 or 9:10. Someone.
Yeah, traditionally, for those that may
early.
Not know, on the SDH network on Soccer Down Here AM, we always start off our week with a batting leadoff at 9:15. We'll go for about 20 minutes before the boss of the house, Chipper, demands to either be walked, fed, or both. And it's always a way to start our week. We'll recap there at 9:15 every Monday when Abe knocks on our door. We'll talk about everything. We'll run the highlights, and we'll catch up with folks, and we'll catch up with what folks think. It's on the SDH YouTube channel, on the 280-character app, and on Twitch. And it kicks off at 9:05 because we are firm believers in Turner time when it comes to starting a show.
And so we will continue the discussion and analysis and breakdown of this match tonight between Atlanta United and Inter-Miami tomorrow morning. But we will end it here tonight on 92.9 The Game. I want to thank Eric Slaughter, our producer in studio, and Jay Cook, our on-site engineer. For Mike and Jason, the voices of Atlanta United, for Madison Cruz, for Jarrett Smith, and for John Nelson of Soccer Down Here, I'm Abe Gordon. Join us again at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday, March 22nd, for our next broadcast, as Atlanta United will take on FC Cincinnati. Once again, the final today, Atlanta United 1, Inter Miami 2. That's going to do it for the full-time report right here on 92.9 The Game.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show Early Wedge on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.